You're listening to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Hi everyone, Paul here, and just a quick message from me to let you know that if you are looking to improve the performance of your team, no matter whether it is a work, sporting or community one, then we've developed some tools to help. On the website, you will find our Thriving Teams Diagnostic, which uses insights from the more than 200 great coaches we have interviewed to challenge you with a series of questions to help you understand how your team is performing. It's free and only takes a few minutes to complete. If you'd like to know more, you can check out our website, thegreatcoachespodcast.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Great Coaches Podcast.
To me, being perfect is not about that scoreboard out there.
This is a chance of a lifetime.
When you can understand the person, you can then work towards a common goal.
We are all on the same team.
Know your role and do it to the best of your ability.
Focus on the fundamentals. We've gone over time and time again.
Your defense has got to be better.
Leave no doubt tonight.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
Hello and welcome to the Great Coaches Podcast, where we believe that there is no algorithm for leadership. And so we interview great sports coaches from around the world to try and find ideas to help us all be better leaders. Our great coach on this episode is Brian Bohannon. Brian is an American football coach. He started as an assistant with Gardner Webb in 1996 and then over the next 17 years progressed through roles with Georgia Southern, Navy and Georgia Tech. In 2014, he started as the inaugural head coach for Kennesaw State. That team has gone on to become the best five-year startup program in college football history. Along the way, he has won three Big South Coach of the Years, the AFCE Coach of the Year, as well as leading the team to two Big South Conference championships. And just before we go to the interview, today's podcast is brought to you by the Macquarie University Business School's MBA program. Designed to empower, challenge, and transform, the Macquarie MBA gives you the business skills and knowledge you need to succeed in an evolving global economy. The program bridges the gap between theory and real-world application, bringing together world-leading professors, executives, and industry partners to teach you how business can be used for good. I have just started working with the team at Macquarie on some projects and can attest to the quality of the people and material. To find out more, search for Macquarie University Business School's MBA. And now, please enjoy our interview with Brian Bohannon.
You're listening to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Coach Bohannon, good morning my time, good late afternoon your time, and welcome to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Awesome. Excited about being on today.
Thank you for carving out a little bit of time at the end of your day. I understand you've just come out of the room looking at film, so very keen to chat with you. But I'm going to start with a really simple question. Coach, could you tell us where you are in the world and what you've been up to so far today?
Oh, shoot. Today we started our morning workouts with our team. We do 6 days. They call them coaches' runs, but I always laugh with them. I'm like, I'm not running. I'm too old. I'm not running anywhere. But we do some team building, some stuff that to help to build our team up, work on adversity and tough stuff. And so we started that at 6 this morning. And then, you know, I've hired a new offense coordinator, new defense coordinator. So we've really been in meetings a lot right now, kind of getting everybody on the same page with terminology and the things we need to do, because we'll start spring practice here in about 3 weeks as we get ready for the 24 season.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about terminology and the 24 season, and in fact, the 7 or 8 seasons that have gone before, because it's a great story. But let's just begin with perhaps some of your apprenticeship. Now, you worked under the great coach Paul Johnson for 16 years, and I'm sure at that time you also saw some pretty good coaches from the other side of the field too. But Coach Bohannon, what do you think the great coaches do differently that sets them apart?
Well, I mean, I think number one, you know, obviously this is talking about leadership, but I think there's a lot of different ways to lead, but the great ones find ways to get everybody bought in to a common goal and vision, right? And everybody, you know, especially in this game, we got, you know, kids from different backgrounds, different places. You got staff from, you know, different places. And I think the ultimate goal is, how do you get everybody bought into that and always working in that direction? It may communicate a little bit differently, but we're all saying the same thing, maybe a different way, but that common goal and vision we're all working towards, and just getting everybody to believe in it. And I think that's the number one trait. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, you look across the country, from CEOs to coaches to whatever it might be. And, you know, people have different ways of leading, but they're getting to the same place, you know, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. So, I mean, that would be my number one. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, you know, but I think that in a nutshell is, how do you get a group of people bought into something bigger than themselves, something bigger than themselves. They believe in, they're empowered, you know, to go do it and to be the best version of themselves they can be. And I think that's really what you're trying to get accomplished when you talk about leadership.
So I'm always intrigued, though, because the size of an American football team is big. I mean, you've probably got more than 100 players, is my guess, and probably 50 staff. How do you ensure that they all stay on song, that they all stay aligned to that vision? You've got such a disparate group of people.
Yeah, I think the number one thing early on is, you know, you have this vision, you have this thing, the way you want things to look. I think you got to take your staff and make sure they understand the vision, because they're going to spend time with those players as well. And then as a head coach, you know, you got to stay in front of them. You got to constantly communicate. I think this day and age, building relationships is probably always has been, but more so now than ever, you know, to build relationships with the staff, but more importantly with your players. And then the thing I've learned in my short time as a head coach, I've been doing this as a head coach for 10 years, but you never stop talking about the vision and how we get there. It's like you repeat. I feel like I'm repeating myself all the time. But at the end of the day, there's new people in the building. There's new kids coming in the program. And maybe they haven't heard it enough or the right way. And so I think that's something I've learned along the way. You just got to keep saying the same things over and over. Sometimes you got to find a different way or a better way to say it so that it's heard the right way. Because I think that's really important, is finding what I tell our coaches all the time. Listen, we know what it looks like. We understand it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if our kids don't understand it. They're the ones that make this thing go. We got to figure out a way to get them on the same page. So I think those are some things that have been important. I'm still learning. I'm 53 years old. I learn something every day. Learn something this morning. We're going to learn something today. Like, it's just, I don't think you ever stop learning in this profession. Of how to help a program be the best they can be at what they do.
Now, Coach Bohannon, if my research is correct, it was way back in 7th grade when you were completing a school task detailing who you wanted to be, what you like to do, and what you wanted to be when you grow up, that you wrote, be simply, winner, football, and coach. Now, for a 7th grader, that's a pretty profound vision to have, but was there a person or an event that ignited this passion in you to go on and be a head coach?
So, well, it's a couple things. So my dad was a high school football coach for 30 years. I played for my dad. I grew up on a football field. So from, I don't know, the time I was probably 6, 7 years old, I'm on the field every day, whether I'm the, the ball boy, the water boy, I'm getting the tee, trainer, manager. I tell the joke all the time. They would had tearaway jerseys back in the day. I'm cleaning them off the grass. Like, so that's where I saw my dad. That's where I was going to be. I'd catch a bus from elementary, middle school, whatever it might be, to go, be at practice, even though I wasn't really on the team or practicing, I was helping in some way. So I grew up in it. My parents are both educators and dad a coach. So I grew up in it. I didn't, I got to college and I'm trying to, what I want to do. I think my mom knew the when you coach football, it's a, you got to be passionate about it. And it takes a lot of time. And she's like, well, why don't you try the business thing? So I did. And by my junior year, and I'm like, nah, I'm gonna go coach. This is what I want to do. This is what's in my heart. This is what I feel like I'm called to do. And so, those are probably the biggest things that came up along the way. And I love it. I now had no intention of being a head coach, none whatsoever. I really didn't think hardly anything about it. I just when I first started. I think my goal at the time was maybe to try to get back to the level I played at. So I played at the University of Georgia. So I, in my mind, like if I could get back to a school like that, that was the initial goal, right? And then you get into it. You mentioned I worked for Coach Johnson for 16 years. And I tell a story. I did not interview for a job in 16 years. Now, whether I was supposed to or not, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't good enough to interview, whatever it might be, but I didn't. I'm a pretty old school loyal soldier that believes in being where your feet are and making the job you have the best one. If you do it the right way, then people will notice. You don't necessarily have to put it on social media for somebody to recognize that you're doing a good job. But anyway, so and went through all that, and I think it, as Coach was starting to close out his career a little bit, I realized I was going to have to step out on my own. I'd been with him for a long time. He's a phenomenal coaching person. And that's when the whole head coaching thing kind of came up at a place that didn't even have a football, didn't have uniforms, didn't have equipment. I never thought about that, not one time. So, anyways, that's kind of the coaching piece of it is the evolution of kind of how I got into the business a little bit.
I'm going to ask you about the startup and what's happened with that program. But if I could just take a minute to just talk about your apprenticeship a little bit more. 17 years before you, as an assistant, before you became a head coach. And I'm really intrigued to ask you, what did that experience not teach you that you've now had to sort of learn the hard way? Because you've watched your father as well as since you've been very small. So was there something that really caught you off guard and you've had to work hard on?
So nobody can teach you to be a head coach. Let me just go ahead and get that out of the way right now. You learn a lot of things that people tell you along the way, but when you sit in that chair and you have to make decisions every minute of every day, and you have no idea what the decisions are until someone walks in your office, nobody can really necessarily prepare you for that. I was fortunate. I had a little time because you mentioned the startup piece. We had a little time to kind of get my feet on the ground, but I just remember the enormous amount of decisions that are put in your lap that you have to make, sometimes with good information to help you, sometimes maybe not as much. And sometimes you got to make them in the moment. And you don't have time to go, hey, let me think about this for a little bit. I think nobody can, you just got to go do it, right? And sometimes you're going to do good and sometimes you're not, and you just got to learn from it and move on to the next thing. But I think the amount of decisions is really incredible. When you first get going and then you're learning something every day about something. It's like, and I'm not even talking about scheme. I'm talking about how to manage, how to communicate, how to empower, how to get, you know what I mean? Like, how do you get everybody? And then you have all the changes on your staff and you're just doing it over and over again. Because they weren't here the whole time. And so you got to go back again and get them on the same page. So I would say just the amount when you say what you did not learn, that's one of those things I think people can tell you about, but it's kind of like having your first kid, you know what I mean? Like Everybody tells you about it, but till you have that baby in your arms and you feel that enormous amount of responsibility, can't nobody explain that to you. You know what I mean? Like, that just is what it is. You go figure it out, right? So I would say those are probably the biggest thing.
Well, let's talk about the startup, as I've been referring to it in my notes here. So you're hired back in 2013 and you're starting this program from scratch. You're the first person hired. You're sitting at a cubicle. There's nobody around you. Now let's flash forward. That team goes on to become the best five-year startup program in college football history with a 48-15 overall record. There's two Big South Conference championships. There's three straight appearances in the FCS playoffs and four playoff victories. It's an amazing achievement. But when you think about that time, let's zero in on this idea of decisions. What were the one or two big decisions that you made early that have gone on to have big influence later on?
That's a great question. So, you know, I tell people all the time I was sitting in that cubicle, you know, and it's like I hadn't interviewed for a job in all that time, and I interviewed for this one, and it was the full gamut of interviews, right? You got committee, you got president, you got AD, like it's all of it, right? Never had any experience doing it, really any of it. Then you get the job, you're excited because we're all competitors in this business, and you're fired up, you got the job, and then you're sitting in that cubicle and you're like, holy cow, what's next, right? Like, we didn't have anything at the time, right? I'm being serious. We had a mock-up jersey we could show. We had one. But at that time, pen to paper, you know, I'd already made up my mind what I wanted the program to look like. But to me, it's all about people. So it was about how do I get the right staff to go do the things that we want to do here? And then how do we get the right young men that represent Kennesaw State University and can be somebody that can go make history, go do something different, go do something special, go leave a legacy, right? And so I think those are the things that I'm jotting down, like, all right, people, how do we get the right staff? How do we get the right players? And how are we intentional about the things we're looking for in those two areas? So that's where it started. And then, you start hiring staff and we're having all this dialogue and communication. I didn't realize how much in my brain I'd formulated what I wanted to look like until the questions would come up and I had answers, whether they were good or bad. I had answers. It doesn't mean they were always good, but, and I think if you know what you want it to look like, and I always use it like, hey, if an opposing coach shook your hand and said, man, you guys played extremely hard, you're well coached and you're tough. All right. Those are on the field characteristics that we can win with. Like, now I want to win, but like even on a bad day, if we can do those things, and then we want young men that represent this university and the community in the right way, because they're going to be the first, you know, there'll be none like them ever again. This class coming in is going to tell the next class and the next class, this is what it means to be a Kennesaw State football player. So all this stuff I'm talking about comes back to culture. Culture. Culture's beat scheme every day. Like, what is it like in the building? What are the interactions like? How does it all work together? All those things together. So, all of these things we talked about, we were intentional about, and we went at it. I think it was a lot more enthusiasm and energy. We maybe always didn't say the right thing, but by gosh, we did it with energy and enthusiasm. So, at least people could feel like this is a big deal. And that first class and that first group of kids, man, they bought in, and the records and stuff you mentioned, man, it's the staff and the player, they just bought in, and it was not easy, but they bought in and were able to have a ton of success.
Coach, can I talk about culture? Because you've got this great word, it's acronym to describe it. It's EAT, E-A-T, which stands for effort, attitude, and toughness. I love it. I love it when there's a simple way of describing the culture that you're trying to create. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and how it comes to life for people?
Yeah. So we had two things here, kind of our, you know, mantras or things we When we first started, we talked about winning the day, win the day on the field, off the field, in the classroom. And that's really overarching for our program. Like, hey, we're not just going to win on the field. We're going to take care of our business in the classroom. We're going to be good citizens, good people. We want to represent the KS in the right manner. But the eat, so we're sitting around a meeting. We're having these conversations about what we want this thing to look like. And I've already told you, I want our kids to play hard. I want them to be tough, right? Have the right mindset and attitude. So we're talking through all these things. And, you know, one of the volunteer guys who had come on that went to school here, he said, you know, Coach, if you rearrange those words, the first letter, it would be EAT, which is eat. And I'm like, that's awesome. And eat was born in that meeting at that moment. And it was organic. Like, we're talking about what we want this thing to look like. So, and the thing about EAT is it's effort, attitude, and toughness. Three things you can control no matter how tall you are, how fast you run, how much you bench press. None of that matters. You control your effort, how hard you play. You control your attitude, your mindset. You control your physical and mental toughness. Those things you can control. No matter, because we knew we weren't going to be as good as the people we played when we started. We knew we weren't. But we knew these things would help us go win. And so that became the mantra. Kids love it. They bought into it. It's on the front of our helmet, right there on the front, you know, where you'd have a right L or shut. There's eat, you know, and that's really the mantra of our program. And we take a lot of pride in it. And that's what we try to. So when we go practice or we go work out, it's a little different maybe than everybody else, because we're trying to ingrain that effort, attitude, and toughness in our players. And so they feel like going into a game, they're more prepared and have outworked their opponents. So that's how it started in the room. And a guy named Danny Payne, and he's actually at the Naval Academy now. And he said, you know, Coach, if you move those words around, man, it's eat. And it's like, there it was. It was born right there in the moment. And it's kind of evolved from there. We put on the helmet, does some other things with it. And it's the mantra of our program. There's no doubt about that.
When we talk about toughness a little bit, because I get the sense it's not just about physical toughness. There's an emotional element to toughness for you in the program as well. Could you pull it apart and tell us how you help people develop the type of toughness that you want in their character?
Yeah. So toughness is in two categories. You have mental toughness and physical toughness. And the mental toughness is the biggest piece, because it goes back to attitude, which is mindset. Your mindset leads to your ability to play hard and be tough. Where is my mind? How can I focus on a single task, whatever that is? Maybe it's doing my homework. Maybe it's my family, or maybe it's something schematically, or football, or weightlifting, or conditioning. How can I focus on a simple task, regardless of circumstance? Meaning, hot, tired, don't feel good, whatever. This is going on in my life. How can I focus on that small, simple task and go execute that task at a high level, regardless of circumstance? That's mental toughness to me. To me, mental toughness is the hardest thing to work on this day and age, because to be mentally tough, you have to do hard things, because that's the only way you can find out if you're tough. If you get adversity thrown in your face on a daily, how do I manage that adversity? Do I crumble? Do I walk away from it, or do I go meet it head on and say, you know what? I'm going at this. I may not win this, but I'm going to go at it. It may knock me down, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do it again. You know, people sometimes don't want to fail, but failure is how you get to where you have the ability to achieve your goals. Everything in life, the people that are most successful, man, they didn't do it first try. Now, I can promise you that, you know. So I think the mental toughness piece is the most important piece of all of it. That's what we're working on right now. Our football team, we've talked specifically about toughness. And really, this morning when I left them, it was about mental toughness, right? You know, if you're running a 10-yard sprint, can you do it when you're really tired? You know what I mean? Can you not jump off sides in a critical moment in a game because you're mentally tough, right? And I think that's to me, that's the component that's most important. Physically tough is more about, hey, the manly stuff, right? Like I'm physically tough. I can go be physical, and I can hit and all those things. And that's a huge piece of it. Don't get me wrong. But if your mental, your attitude and your mindset is not in the right place, none of the other stuff is going to come up. Like you'll never get to anything else. You'll never get to the effort piece because your mind's not in the right place. You'll never get to the physical piece because your mind's not in the right place. So I like on the eat, the way I frame it is it starts with the A. Your attitude is your mindset. Without the right mindset, you can't have effort and you can't have toughness because it all goes back to my mental state of where I'm at and what I am ready and I want to go do. Not I have to go do, I want to go do it. Talking to our football team about a have to person on our team or a want to person. We need want to people, not have to. I don't have, listen, have to guys that have to be here, they're not going to go win for you. We want guys that want to be here because they want to win and they want to be successful. But it all comes back to the mindset and the attitude of how we approach things that gives you that opportunity.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Coach Bohannon, I've got an interesting quote from you. You alluded to it a minute ago. You say, I've always said culture beats scheme every day. And you sustain on culture, you don't sustain on any scheme. That's how you create an environment. Now, it's an interesting idea. I know schemes are so important in American football and other sports like basketball as well. But if I wanted to ask you, if I was to ask you to describe the most high-performing environment that you've experienced, one that you are aspiring to, how would you describe it?
I think to get to that idea of a culture of player led and player driven, of coach, we're going to go do this because to me, this whole thing revolves around your players and can they lead. I think when you get to a point that they're carrying the mantra, they're holding each other accountable, they want to go do this. To me, that is the point you're like, this is awesome. To me, that's the arena you're trying to get in where all the thoughts you have as a coach and as our assistant coaches and staff, they're ingrained and the players are saying, hey, we're going to go do this. Coach, throw at us whatever you want. Make it as challenging as you can make it. It doesn't matter. We're going to go do this. And we've had some moments here and some years here. 17 was a really special year for us that it didn't matter what happened. They were resilient. They never thought in a minute they were going to lose. It didn't matter who we were going to play. And they were going to play harder than anybody we played against. Was that Coach Bohannon? No. That was a group of young men that had bought into something that was bigger than themselves. And it didn't matter the arena. It didn't matter where they were. That group of young men was going to go do it. And, we went out to Montana State that year and snowstorm and, nobody even knows who we are, and find a way to win a game on the road in the snow against a team that's got a pretty good history. But that was because of that group of kids and just how they decided they wanted to be. And I think that's the goal in this. And whatever you are, wherever you are, when you get them bought into that and it's their idea, it's their way, if that makes sense. It's about them, what they want to do, that's when success follows, whatever that looks like. That's when success follows.
Coach, we've talked about the culture in the team, but when you were setting it up, did you talk about the team's purpose, or sometimes people describe it as their mission? Was that something that you also articulated as a group?
Absolutely. I tried to do the best job I could to be clear on the vision and expectations. I mean, listen, we met for the first time as a team in 2014. We had, I think, 29 kids on scholarship. We had 80 kids in the room. And like I said, only 29 on scholarship. And, you know, I'd already talked a lot about the vision because we'd recruited those guys in different capacities, whether walk-on or scholarship. But listen, I put on the screen, like, this is what we're going to do here. We're going to win at home, protect the nest. We're going to win a conference championship. We're going to win a national championship, period. That's the three goals for this program. Now, you and I both know, I knew that wasn't happening year one, probably wasn't happening year two. Didn't know when it was going to happen. But I felt like they need to know that this is the standard. This is what we're going for. And if you set your standards low, you'll get low standards. If you set them high, you got a shot to get high standards. Like, where do you set them? And so now we talked about that really once a year, didn't really get into a lot of it throughout the year, but we did talk about it and laid it out. And each and every moment of every day needed to reflect what we wanted our football team to look like. So being on time, wearing the right gear, being on time to class, everything that we wanted our program to look like, especially on a Saturday afternoon, we had to replicate that in everything we did. The way I believe is, if you want your team to look a certain way, you got to have that way every day, because it's going to be those ingrained habits that they're going to resort back to their training, right? So whatever they've learned along the way, that's what they're going to resort back to. So that's kind of how we approached it, you know, and weren't bashful about it. You know, in that 5 years, we never got to the national championship, but we got the quarterfinals twice, you know, which is, we didn't hit our goal, but remarkable in itself. And our 9 seasons here, I think we're 44-9 at home. Like, that was a goal. They got to have something they're going after, right? You got to have the nugget out there. The nugget changes a little bit every year with young people, but you got to have something out there for them to go after. And even more so now, you got to have some more immediate things they can accomplish as you work your way through the process. But yeah, we put that out there for them.
You said at the start of that answer there, you said protect the nest. And it links to this quote I have from you where you say, I think everybody's born inherently being selfish. I think it takes a lot of effort and energy to think of others before yourself. It's so true. And it's true in all teams and groups. It's not reserved just for sport. But how do you go about developing the skill of being unselfish in your program?
I think we're all that way. Listen, when I made that quote, we're all that way. We all have that, and we all have the things that we you know, individually want. And I'm good with that. Like, we got guys come in that, hey, I want to be all conference, I want to be all American. I'm like, man, I'm fired up about that. I hope you get it. I want to coach. I want to go to the NFL. Man, I hope you go. I'm all for it. So listen, here's how this works. When you put the team above yourself, all right, you're going to have a shot at all those goals. Team success leads to individual accolade. Team success leads to individual accolade. You got to buy into something bigger than yourself. And everything we do here, when you walk in the building, you're a Kennesaw State football player. I don't care if you're the All-American quarterback or the third-string holder. The standard of the program is standard of the program. You're all going to be held accountable to that and everything we do. And so it's like we try to do everything together as a team. This is the standard. This is how we do it, you know. And so it is a daily – this is another thing. It's a minute-by-minute, day-by-day process of working towards, hey, I'm good with your individual goals. I'm glad. I want you to write them down. And I want you to put them above your headboard, so when you get up in the morning, you read those and make sure everything you do during the day leads towards those goals. Coach, I want to be a 3.0 student. I want to do this. I want to do that. All right, put them above your and write them down. So when you get up in the morning, remind yourself, are my actions backing up my individual goals? But at the end of the day, if you go buy into something bigger than yourself, right, you're gonna say, hey, I'm doing this for my teammate. I'm not gonna let my buddy down. We're working our tail off. We have a huge investment. I'm not gonna let it go. I'm gonna do it because I care about him and he cares about me, and I don't want to let him down. And it's amazing when you do that, all of a sudden all that other stuff you want just kind of starts aligning, right? Like, holy cow. When I don't make it about me, all of a sudden the things that maybe I wanted start to come to fruition a little bit. There's no guarantee on that. There's no guarantee on life on anything, right? But I'm a firm believer in it, and we talk about it all the time. And recruits come in, I'm like, listen, I want you all to go do all the things you want, but at the end of the day, team success leads to individual accolade. We got an All-American board, and they're filled up with guys, and it wasn't because that was all they cared about. That was part of it, but ultimately they cared about their teammates, and they cared about the greater good of Kennesaw State football and how we're going to go accomplish the things we wanted to, and then good things happen with it. It's kind of like I told you about jobs. Be where your feet are. Make the job you have the best one. You don't have to tweet about it. People will recognize. People will know it. And you do what you're supposed to. Good things happen.
Coach Bohannon, I've heard you talk about self-reflection and how important it is to you. Can you tell us about the way that you go about this?
Yeah, and I probably struggle with this at times, just to be upfront. You know, you get in this, you know, you get in this job, and gosh, you're judged on Saturday to Saturday, right? Like, if you won, everybody loves you. If you don't, you know, it just kind of is what it is, right? It's and it never stops, right? You know, especially now in college football, we're in the off season is the toughest time of year. In season's actually the fun part. The off season's where it's challenging, and I think it's so fast paced, and you're trying to get things done and accomplish. You don't really step back and look at what all is going on. The one thing I did do here when we started is I made it a point that no matter whatever happened, when we won, we were going to celebrate. You know, we got to a point here that we were winning, and, you know, we could win and not win pretty, and the kids would know it. Like, they'd go in the locker room and be like, not even want to celebrate. And one thing I did here is no matter what, I don't care. A win's a win, period. We're going to celebrate. And we do that because we got to enjoy that moment. And I tell our guys after a game, you need to go enjoy it, have fun. You deserve it. Take care of one another. We'll come back tomorrow, regroup, and get ready for the next one. I think as a coach, sometimes that's hard to do, right? You're so ready for the next one, right? Like, you're just, we're probably that way during the season. I'm going to be honest with you. I've tried to do a better job along the way of enjoying the victories a little longer. Not just right after the game, but like, hey, enjoy them. They're hard to come by. People don't realize what it takes to go win a ball game. Think about it. Now, you got to get 120 young men on the same page for 60 minutes to go get a job done. Like, 18 to 22-year-olds. So it's – I don't care who you're playing. Half the time you're playing yourself more than you're ever playing an opponent. You got to overcome yourself before you can go play anybody. You know, we talk about time. Let's just don't beat ourselves. We got a shot. And so I think these things, you know, all these things come into play a little bit, but I've tried to step back and go, hey, look at what all we've accomplished here. And I'm proud of the people in the building and what they've done and all that's happened here. I think, I probably don't do a good enough job of really enjoying those moments more. I think when you reflect, you're reflecting on everything, like things you felt like you did good, felt things you felt like you did bad. How can we be better? I'm a non-ego guy. I don't really care about any of the stuff and all that. I am prideful for our program. I do want it to be appreciated and recognized, not for me, but for the hard work that's been put in here. And, you know, I am that way for sure. But the self-reflection, you know, it's you try to step back, take a deep breath. If there's a point in the off season, you can and go, all right, man, this is good stuff, right? Some good stuff's going on here. And then I think the same token, as a coach, you're always trying to learn to get better. So you kind of look at the things that may be, hey, how can we be better? It's 2024, right? and 15 in 2024, completely different times right now. Everything's different. College football's different. The way you got to do some things is different, and you got to find a way to adjust and adapt. And I think part of that self-reflection is that a little bit. And for me, I think as a coach, I'm always trying to figure out how do I get to the same place I want to get to, but find better ways to do it, find better ways to engage, find better ways to do to get to the place I know that will help us win. You know, so it's a work in progress for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I talk about it. I do a better job sometimes at others at that because I'm so focused on the next thing or the big picture or what's down the road or whatever it might be. And sometimes you get caught up in all that and you forget about maybe some of the good stuff that's happened.
Can I ask you about this idea of things being different? And I want to link it to this idea of 120 young men. And we've had this thing called COVID happen, which I think has changed the way we need to communicate, or it's evolved it a little bit. I'd like to ask you what you've learned about communicating across generations, particularly given the way that millennials have been impacted by COVID.
Yeah, so I kind of call it the post-COVID effect a little bit. I think we're going down this road. Technology and access to information has a lot to do with it, in my opinion. And the information is not always accurate, but it's easy access to information. And then it got accelerated, right? Hey, everybody get away from one another. Don't talk to anybody. Don't hang out with anybody. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And it accelerated what was already heading that direction, accelerated it. And so I call it kind of the post-COVID effect. And the biggest thing I think that we've learned and that we know we have to do as coaches, the kids are not going to come talk about stuff unless you get them and pry it out of them. They're just not, they're more look at a phone oriented than they are in Snapchat and Instagram, whatever it might be, than they are open lines of communication. So, you know, I got coaches that got signs on the door for meeting times, like so once a week. I'm still preaching it now. Like, get them in your office. It's not about football. It's just, hey, man, how's it going? Because at the end of the day, we're trying to find out what makes them go. What is their why? Why do they come over to the building every day, right? Other than the scholarship, because it's got to be bigger than that now if you're going to go do this, because this is not easy. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is a lot more dialogue is needed now to dig into the layers of whatever that young man's background is, and how does that impact his ability to go be successful. And that's it. That's the biggest thing. And we have to be really diligent about it. We talk about it all the time. And I think there's ways you got to learn to teach differently. You know, attention spans are not real long. They'd rather get the quick thing on Twitter or Instagram than they would listen to anything for a real long time. That's just, so it's like you got to find different ways to teach, different ways, figure out how they learn. And we got to figure out how to teach it that way. And, you know, and so it's like, you can't keep them in a meeting too long. They're not going to be there. They'll look at you, but they're not there. You know, they went to another place. So I think these are things that we've learned and we're still evolving and, you know, trying to keep them active and moving. And, you know, but the big thing is the relationships and the dialogue and the communication. That is, to me, if you don't have that right now, you have no shot. You have no shot. It's always been that way. But it's way more that way now than it was. If we'll use the COVID as kind of a benchmark, pre-COVID, it's heading in that direction. But it got accelerated during that time, and you know, and obviously technology and cell phones and access to information is something that plays a huge role in that as well.
Brian, you talked about uncovering the player's why a minute ago. I'm wondering, what's your why?
Yeah, I mean, I love watching young people grow and do things they didn't think they could do. I love trying to take them to a place they didn't think they could go to help them be the best version of themselves they can be. And I'm also that guy that, you know, kind of tell me I can't do something, or maybe you don't think we can do it. I have a little that chip on my shoulder to go prove you wrong. And sometimes that comes out as extreme passion. Maybe it looks the wrong way. I don't know. It's just me. I am who I am. I don't really hide that. But I think those are some things. I've always enjoyed being around young people and coaches, and they don't realize that I'm pushing them to go to a place they didn't think they could go. And I love it when they get there. I love it when they go get that job, and 5, 10 years down the road, they call back and they got kids and like, coach, in the moment, man, that stuff was crazy tough. But looking back on it, I appreciate it because it's put me in a position to be successful in life. Like that's the ultimate win, right? I want kids to play in the NFL, but I know that's not going to last forever, but that the kid that's comes back in is just like, coach, man, I get it. In the moment, I wasn't quite sure. I thought you were crazy, but I get it. I love watching them develop and do things they didn't think they could do, and take them to place they didn't think they could go, and not just from a football, but from a life perspective, right? Like, we're in a crazy world. Like, we're helping these kids go develop some skills that can go help navigate what I call a crazy world right now. And to me, that's the stuff that's awesome. And, and that are proud to come back and say, you know what? I played there. Man, that place is awesome. Loved it. You know what I mean? We're not perfect. We're far from it. But those are things I think that are really important. For my why.
Coach Bohannon, and perhaps just one last question, if I could, because one of the most fascinating things about the Owls is that you're starting a tradition that will probably go on for decades, if not hundreds of years. And I say that because the other programs around you have been around that long. Now, as the person who's at the start of this, who's lit the match at the beginning, when you look into the future, how do you hope people describe the legacy that the Owls are creating?
Whatever young men come through this program, they'll represent this university and this community in the right way. They'll go out on that field and play the game the right way. Doesn't always mean we'll win every game. We need to try to, but we won't, And I think, is people or someone would look into this program and say, you know what, that thing's run the right way and it's done for the right reasons, not just on the field, but in the classroom, in the community. Everything's done with the mindset of helping young people be the best version of themselves they can be. And we did it the right way. We didn't shortcut it. We didn't shortchange it. We didn't, we did it the right way. And, and I think some of those mantras we talked about, I think we'll carry on, I hope we've laid a foundation that people take a lot of pride in playing for this program, but also people that come to this place even to play us or whatever, like, man, that Kennesaw State football, you better be ready to go, that's what we wanted. When we started, we wanted to be circled. We wanted to be known. We wanted for someone to say, oh my gosh, I got to go play them. Because at the time, didn't nobody care about us at all. And I think that's we got it. It comes with responsibility too. That's for sure. But I think that's it, man. If somebody looks in here, it's like, shoot, man, this thing was done the right way. Like, if somebody else stepped into this program right now, they're like, good Lord, this place is in a good place because it's been done the right way and it's been built the right way, not built with shortcuts, but built with a strong foundation that you could put any house you wanted on because it has a strong foundation or a building or whatever that might be because it has a strong foundation.
Coach Bohannon, it's been great getting to know you. I've loved researching a little bit about the Owls, Kennesaw State. It's a great startup story, and I am looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds in the coming years. I wish you all the best for the coming season.
Awesome. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Great Coaches Podcast.
Hi, everyone. You have been listening to the Great Coach, Brian Bohannon.
I hope you got a lot out of Brian's energetic style. He's a great storyteller, and it really left me feeling quite energized for the week ahead. There were so many key highlights. I particularly liked his description of mental toughness as the ability to execute a simple task regardless of circumstance, as well as the story he tells about starting up the team from scratch and taking it to be the most successful 5-year startup program in college football history. And also, the thought he had around the number one thing that great coaches have is the leadership ability to take a group of people from different places and backgrounds and get them to buy into a common vision and goal. I definitely enjoy interviewing American football coaches. And just before we go, if you have any feedback, then please let us know. Just like Julie Anderson, who, after listening to our interview on serial winning coaches with Professor Sergio and Professor Cliff, said, "Great insights into coaching. Great work, Sergio." Thanks, Julie. The interaction with the people around the world who listen gives us the energy to keep going. And so if you have any feedback, good or bad, please let us know. All the details on how to connect with us are in the show notes or on our website, thegreatcoachespodcast.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.